John chapter 19, verses 17 to 30.
So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him with two others, one on each side of Jesus, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened so that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." To the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now complete, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Let's pray. Father God, as we reflect on the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf, we pray that you would open our eyes, that you would give us ears to hear, that we might hear what you have for us today, and the wonderful news that it is finished. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was around 18 years old, I wanted to upgrade my car into something a bit newer, something a bit fancier. But the car that I wanted was out of the reach of my savings, and so I got my first and only ever car loan. I had a steady job at the time, so I was able to make repayments, but I was young and not very good with money, and so I decided that I also needed to improve this new car by putting in a much more powerful engine. Long story short, that loan took me about 3 years longer than it should have to pay off. And even though it was a lot of money to me back then, it was pocket change compared to the amounts of money that people borrow these days. They say that the median house price in Sydney now is $1.76 million. And in order to service a loan like that, a couple needs to have a combined income of $232,000 a year. And while Sydney prices continue to rise, interestingly, they aren't going up as much as agricultural land, which has risen 256% in the last 20 years. I know I'm not telling you anything you don't already know when I say that costs are much higher for farmers, and loans required to do agriculture are only getting bigger and bigger. I remember when Tamara and I bought our very first home, and we got a home loan for that. And remember how scary it was to have such a big amount of money hanging over us. And by today's standards, it was not very much at all. But back then, it seemed like a lot of money to us. And the idea of having a debt like that hanging over our shoulders for 30 years just seemed like a heavy weight to bear. But both of us had pretty good jobs. We could afford the repayments. And so we went ahead and took on that debt. See, all of those debts felt large at the time. A car loan when I was only 18 felt like an enormous amount of money to pay back. Our first home loan felt incredibly intimidating. But today people are carrying mortgages of well over $1 million. But the thing about all of those kind of debts, no matter how big they are, now how big are they even seen, they still have something in common. They are debts that can eventually be repaid. With enough time, enough work, enough discipline, the balance will eventually, maybe a long time away, but eventually come down to zero. But the Bible tells us that the debt that our sin caused will never go back to zero. Our sins placed a debt before God that we can never repay. Not with a lifetime of effort, not with a lifetime of good works or good intentions. It is a debt so large that no amount of spiritual sacrifices could ever clear the balance. In the ancient world, it was a common practice when a debt had finally been settled to write a single word over the record of that debt. The Greek word is tetelestai, which means paid in full. And that is the very same word that John uses to describe Jesus' final cry on the cross. When he says, "It is finished," he is saying tetelestai. He is declaring that our debt, the debt we could never repay, no matter how long we tried, had finally and fully and forever been paid because Jesus willingly died on the cross for us. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," he was declaring that the old system that was based on our works had been done away with. No one enjoys having to ask for help or being dependent on someone else. Whenever possible, we want to fix our own problems, get ourselves out of trouble. But when it comes to the debt that we have created through our sin, we are completely unable to repay that debt in our own strength. God gave Israel the law around 1400 years before Jesus would go to the cross. God's law was given to show us how God wants us to live, but also to show us that no one can or ever has, apart from Jesus that is, lived the way that God wants them to live. The law showed the people how God wanted them to live, but it also showed them that we couldn't repay this debt, the debt of our sins, in our own strength. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. That's the debt. That's what needs to be repaid. Or in other words, the only way that the debt could be paid off is if either we die eternally, forever, or if someone else dies in our place. That's why God's law commanded every year that the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, the most holy part of the temple, and make sacrifices on behalf of the people. They would take lambs without spot or blemish, and they would sacrifice those lambs on behalf of the people. As Hebrews 10:11-12 says, "Day after day, priests stand and perform religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, which is speaking about Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, his work on the cross, he sat down at the right hand of God. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was declaring that the Old Testament law had been completely and fully fulfilled. Not through the work of the high priest in the temple, not through anything we have done, but through the perfectly sinless life and sacrificial death of Jesus in our place. We're no longer held captive to rituals and ceremonies that make us feel better for a little while, but have no power to save. We're no longer held captive by our own ability to please God and fulfill his law, because Jesus has already fulfilled God's law on our behalf. In fact, it isn't until we finally realize that we cannot fulfill God's law in our own strength that we are able to come to Jesus, recognizing that we need his help. No one enjoys having to ask for help or being dependent on anyone. But when it comes to the debt of our sin, there is nothing that any of us could ever do. When Jesus declared, "It is finished," he was declaring the good news that he has fulfilled the requirements of God's law fully and forever. When Jesus declared, "It is finished," he was declaring that the debt of our sin had been fully paid. No one likes it when we get a bill in the mail and it's a lot bigger than we're expecting. Maybe we budgeted for a certain amount, expecting what it was going to cost, and we get a horrible surprise. But for whatever reason, it's much more than we bargained for. When it comes to the debt of our sin, it isn't just greater than we hoped. It is far more than we could ever repay. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We already talked about the wages of sin being death, and we are all guilty. Not just deserving of physical death, but spiritual death forever, complete separation from God, and all of his good gifts forever. That is the debt that our sin has placed against our account, and it's a debt that none of us can repay. But as Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he was declaring that he had paid for those sins, the sins of those who trust in him, past, present, and even the ones we haven't yet committed. Every time that we have done what we wanted to do instead of what God wants us to do, every time we've lost our temper, acted selfishly, or lied to cover up our sin, every single time that we have ever disobeyed God's word was laid on Jesus and paid for through his sacrificial death on the cross. On the cross, the only person who had no sin of his own laid down his life for those who would trust in him. He had no debt of his own, no guilt to repay, and yet because of his love for us, he willingly laid down his life in our place. Isaiah 53:5 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." The debt of our sin is far greater than we can ever understand, because the holiness and goodness of God, the perfect, utterly perfect sinlessness of God, is so much greater than we could ever grasp. And yet because of his incredible love for us, Jesus willingly laid down his life, taking on the debt that we owed, putting that upon himself, and paying for that debt on the cross. And Jesus cried out, "It is finished." He was declaring that the debt of our sins, past, present, and future, had been paid for, and that his perfectly sinless life had been placed on our account. His balance of zero now sits on our account. So now, instead of a debt that none of us could ever repay, those who put their faith in Jesus have something entirely different written across their account. The word tetelestai, completely paid off in full. Paid off through Christ's work on the cross. That debt has been settled, the obligation removed, and the account has been closed. You have faith in Christ Jesus. If that is your hope for salvation from sins, your account now bears the word tetelestai, paid in full. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he was declaring that we can have access to God through faith in his Son. At the cross, as soon as Jesus gave up his spirit, Matthew 27:51 tells us that at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The curtain in the temple was a barrier between those who trusted in God and God. It separated where the people could be from the holiest place in the temple, the Holy of Holies, which was back then known as the place of God's presence here on earth. Only the high priest, not an ordinary priest, but only the high priest, was only ever able to go through the curtain. And even then, the high priest was only ever able to go in there once a year. And before he was able to go in, he would have to offer sacrifices on behalf of himself. And then he would have to perform ritual washings and put on a sacred garment. And as he entered the Holy of Holies, his job was to intercede, to talk to God the Father on behalf of the people. But as Jesus gave up his spirit, after declaring, "It is finished," the curtain was torn from top to bottom, the curtain that was separating us from God. God the Father was showing us that he had broken down the dividing wall between God and those who trust in him. Before Jesus willingly went to the cross on our behalf, there was a barrier of our debt standing between us and God, a barrier that we could never overcome. But as Jesus took our sins upon himself and paid for them on the cross, that barrier was torn down forever, and Jesus now stands in its place. And we have gained access to God the Father through the Son. Hebrews 10:19-23 says, "Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Just like the loans that I spoke about earlier, whether a car loan, a home loan, or the huge debts that people have over them these days, our sins has placed a debt over us that we could never repay. No amount of effort, no amount of good works or good intentions could ever clear the balance of what we owe God. But on the cross, Jesus declared, "It has been paid in full." The debt of our sin, past, present, and future, was fully and forever settled. And his perfectly sinless life, sacrificed in our place, cancelled the penalty that we deserve. Because of his sacrifice, we are no longer separated from God. The curtain of the temple that once blocked our access to God has been torn in two from top to bottom. We're no longer bound by the old covenant laws and rituals that could never save anyone, because Jesus has fulfilled God's law perfectly. We can now approach God with confidence, faith, and assurance that our sins have been paid for in full, and we've been set free to serve our God and Saviour out of thankfulness for what he has done. And so the question for us today is not whether we are able to pay off the guilt of our sins, but whether we are going to receive the forgiveness that Jesus died to achieve for each one of us. By trusting in the one who has already declared the debts of those who trust in him have been paid in full. Let's pray. Father God, it's hard to even find words to describe the magnitude of what Jesus did for us on the cross and our utter inability to fulfill your law, Lord, or to repay that debt. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your incredible love, that you loved us even while we were enemies, that you came to us even while we were a long way off, that you paid for the debt of our sins, past, present, and future, and that you paid for it fully and forever. Lord, we pray that you would help us to reflect on that today. And we pray that as we reflect on it, we would not be depressed, but that we would be joyful because we would be reminded of your incredible love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.